Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Today is Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. I got myself, only myself, and my boy AJ here because
Dave is
gone fishing.
Yeah.
So Dave won't be with us this afternoon or this morning, I should say. But when you're listening this afternoon, Dave won't be here. So you won't have to listen to him talk about the Cowboys, and we won't be talking much about the Yankees today.
Yep, so it's going to be a good day for listeners over here at Chop Sports.
And cue the text message that we're going to get from Dave for talking shit about the Cowboys and him in about 2 hours when he listens to this on the boat with him and his boys.
I actually already got an hour ago, so.
I didn't get any text. I got one thing from Dave this morning that said, actually, no, Dave hasn't. He just liked something. I said, check the store because I figured out a way to give everybody in the store their own collection. So now there's not multiple links per person.
That's good.
Which
that's
is
good.
Huge.
Yeah.
That honestly, it's taken me about 4 months to get to that point. And I've maybe about an hour each time I looked into this, I just left frustrated. But finally yesterday I found the right video to guide me to where I needed to be. And that's happening. So I got to actually, that's another layer of work now that comes with that is me having to send out a link to every single Chop athlete to change in their bio.
That's just perseverance, you know, and, yeah, and perseverance pays off.
But it just creates a lot more work for myself, which is fine.
Absolutely.
But, enough about work. We're here to talk about TikTok.
Yeah.
AJ made a TikTok yesterday. It's our most successful TikTok that we've done here at Chop Sports.
Yeah, so let me clarify. No, it's not the most successful in terms of likes, but in terms of gaining traction and followers, goddamn, we did it, boys. We got 9 followers yesterday in the TikTok, and speaking of perseverance, I have tried just about everything with this whole TikTok thing on my own page. I don't do any dancing or none of that bullshit, but TikTok's a hard game to play. The algorithm is nuts, but I put together a little video. If you guys want to check it out, make sure to follow TikTok. It's Chop Sports Media, and feeling a little good about my TikTok traction.
I've gotten about 15 followers over the last day or so on Twitter.
Yeah,
and that's all a rub from Kyle Kerms. He didn't make me do anything, but he asked me to post a picture of the studio, and that he would share it on his Twitter. He's got a way bigger following on Twitter than me. When I say way bigger, he's got 5,000 more followers than I do. I have like 40. He's got 5,040.
The sauce is killing it on Twitter.
The sauce is killing it. We have that coming up. Well, this whole studio rearrange, for those that don't know, is gearing towards football season. Right now, we got the one TV in here. We do have 3 TVs in-house, but there's just only one in our actual recording studio. So we're going to bring some more TVs into here. We're going to have 5 total. Going to have a nice time on Sundays.
Dude, it's going to be beautiful.
I know a lot of people have been asking, like, how do I get in there? I want to come watch football there. It's going to be limited, man.
It's a VIP pass.
Yeah, there's only a certain amount of seats, and we're going to be here to work. It's not. I am going to be watching the fucking Packer game. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to be doing my thing with my bets and my fantasy teams, but essentially, football day is going to be work day.
Absolutely.
But it's a dream come true to be able to work while watching football.
I got some friends asking to come too, honestly. People are pretty excited
about
the little cave we got.
It translates into some dollars for us.
Dollar bills, yo.
I think football season will be our wheelhouse. And speaking of football season and fantasy and things like that, today there really wasn't much happening in sports outside the Olympics. I know I made a point the other day that I don't want to talk about the Yankees anymore because 2 reasons. One, the Yankees aren't playing great. Even though they're playing better now, they're still not playing to the point where I want to talk about them every day.
Yeah.
And it's not a Yankee podcast. This is a sports podcast. And if there is one critique, it's that. Is that we need to be a little more general sports as opposed to just the teams that we like, which I get.
Yeah. You know, it's hard because you want to talk about things you're obviously interested
in.
I'm
going to talk about Randall Cobb today and the Rodgers situation. But that's needed. That's a necessary conversation.
Thing.
That is a hot button topic.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into our fantasy sleepers later on, which I'm very excited about. I know that everybody knows that I'm a fucking fantasy football warlord, self-proclaimed. AJ thinks that he is as well.
I'm the fucking sorcerer. If you're the warlord, I'm the sorcerer. And we're a power duo, let me just tell you.
Who would you rather go up against in a fight? A warlord or a sorcerer? I feel like a warlord has sorcerers on his team.
Okay.
You know, the warlord is the guy that runs shit.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of have like a Lord of the Rings-esque type of vision in my mind.
I'm thinking of Vikings, and I know that the warlord, the guy that runs the shit, and he has everybody behind him, he has his sorcerers.
So yes, the warlord is more at like vicious, so but the sorcerer...
what we're saying here is that you're my intern.
Maybe. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Yes. So I'm the intern, as of always.
So yeah, we're going to get into some fantasy football sleepers. We're not going to talk about trade deadline issues because really not much happened. There's just nothing but rumors. We got Scherzer wants to go out west. He kind of listed his teams.
Yeah.
Javi Baez wants to play with Lindor, but that would only mean one thing, that the Mets are going to have to shell out another $300 million because that's the only way you're going to get Baez in town.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting. Cubs are trading people.
Yeah, they're done.
So
there's selling.
Potential that there could be a Baez move in the next 2 days. I don't foresee that happening. But potentially, if the Mets were really serious right now, that I would imagine that the best way to get Baez long term would be to trade for him now and kind of go into the stretch run with him. But that's a pipe dream.
Yeah, I mean,
I might have just made that up as I went along.
I don't know, but the thing that Baez says is that he wants to play second base. But my issue is that Jeff McNeil plays second base. Yeah,
the Mets don't have a need for Baez right now, and if they do have a need for Max Scherzer, though.
We do have a need for Max Scherzer.
Too bad
the
Mets aren't on the West Coast and the Mets were not on that list. Correct?
Yeah. So yeah, not on that
list.
That's
not going to happen. But there is some pitchers out there.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about the Mets also might not be able to come to terms with Kamar Rocker?
Yeah, I did hear that because apparently there's some issues with his pitching elbow. I mean, in terms of that, I kind of see where the Mets are coming from. But
classic Mets.
Classic goddamn
they
Mets.
They just picked him. They couldn't figure out that he had elbow issues
before
the draft. But anyway, enough about the Mets. You like how I gave the Mets some burning out?
You
the
did.
Yankees?
I like that.
Yeah.
Respect.
Well, I'm kind of regretting it, but it's all right. So, obviously, everybody knows now we have AJ back in studio, and that means that it's time for AJ's sports update.
Yes, sir. It's time for the AJ sports update brought to you by none other than Curtis Sells Houses. If you didn't know already, if you need any realty needs fulfilled, make sure to hit up our guy, Curtis Sells Houses. Let's dive into the first game of yesterday. The Braves faced off against the Mets and spanked them 12-5. Jared Eichhoff looked absolutely terrible. Get that guy off the mound. The Yankees were able to defeat their division rival, Tampa Bay Rays, 4-3, and Jordan Montgomery was able to stop an 8-start winless streak, so good for him. The Marlins were able to easily defeat the Orioles, 7-3. I mean, Sandy Alcantara is an absolute ridiculous pitcher. Just putting on another clinic right there. The Brewers defeated the Pirates in close to an absolute shutout, 9-0. Omar Navarez and Anderson led the Brewers to the victory. The Washington Nationals were able to beat division rivals Philadelphia Phillies 6-4, despite Trey Turner leaving the game because of COVID-related issues. The Cardinals faced off against the Indians, and they were able to defeat them 4-2. Adam Wainwright won his first game at Cleveland, so good for them. Joey Gallo's bat was able to lift the Texas Rangers over the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-4 in a close one. The Cincinnati Reds faced off against the Chicago Cubs, and to nobody's surprise, the Chicago Cubs lost 7-4. They are sellers at the deadline. Make no mistakes about that. The White Sox, don't know why I said it like that. The White Sox.
I'm glad you commented on it.
Yeah. The White Sox faced off against the Kansas City Royals yesterday. They beat them 5-3, pretty evenly matched game. The Tigers, in an absolute exhilarating ninth inning, were able to hit a grand slam, tie the game up, bring it to extras, and then Miggy Cabrera, none other than the Hoss himself, was able to drive in the game-winning run. The Colorado Rockies were able to absolutely smack the Los Angeles Angels 12-3. The Giants were able to edge out a victory against their division rivals, Los Angeles Dodgers 2-1. The Giants are really kind of daddying the Dodgers this year, but that's for another time. The Houston Astros are able to take care of division rivals Seattle Mariners 8-6, and the San Diego Padres are able to defeat the Oakland Athletics behind Fernando Tatis Jr.'s monster of a two-run homer. That is the AJ Sports Update.
Okay, I got some notes here.
Yes, sir.
COVID-related issues, is that how we're actually saying he has COVID? Because he tested positive for COVID. Trey Turner.
Yeah.
That's one. I'm glad you mentioned the Tatis bomb.
Yeah. bomb.
442, but you didn't mention Ohtani's bomb because it's typical for Los Angeles Angels baseball where they get beat and Ohtani hits a home run.
Yeah.
But he hit one 461, so I just saw the Tatis bomb, and then
you just had Ohtani to give some bomb like, shout-outs?
Hold my beer, and he hit a even bigger bomb. No pun intended.
Okay. Deal.
Division rivals, Astros and Mariners, I wouldn't call them rivals.
I mean,
now I'm being critical.
They're in the same division.
They're in the same division, but the Yankees and the
Orioles, you wouldn't consider really them rivals. Somewhat rivals?
They could be at points, but when one team isn't really great and the other one is, they're not rivals.
All right.
Yeah. But I'm splitting hairs here. You said Miggy Cabrera. I feel like it's notable that he's 5 home runs away from 500.
I think he's actually 15 hits away from 3,000 as well. That was something notable I heard during the game yesterday.
To making
history.
Reaching some milestones, I should say. What else did I have? I think that's it. Good job, AJ.
Thank you, sir.
All right. No, we're not going to talk fantasy just yet. First, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I got to gloss over the Randall Cobb situation. I kind of did yesterday, but it wasn't officially official just yet.
Yeah.
And now it's officially official. He tweeted out, I'm coming home.
I'm
happy to
have
him.
Coming home.
And then when we're done with that, yeah, of course, baby. I'm souped. When we're done with that, then we'll talk about our fantasy football sleepers.
Yeah.
Guys, it is almost time for the best time of the year, and that's tailgate season. And when you think about tailgates, you're thinking about beers and you're thinking about food. And when you're thinking about food, you're thinking about hot sauce. I'm talking about Silk City Hot Sauce. It's a mom and pop business from Vermont that produces hot sauce with locally grown peppers. There's several blends and flavors. Here's just a few. You got Slurp, which is fresh peaches, honey, Vermont apple cider, habanero and cherry pepper blend with a hint of smoked jalapeno. We got the Badass Jew, which is 4 pepper blend jalapeno, cherry pepper, serrano, and habaneros with tomato, roasted red peppers, roasted garlic, and Mexican seasoning. Good Morning Jonestown, which is a smoked habanero and smoked serrano with carrots, roasted peppers, garlic, onions, and a splash of white vinegar. Killer Hot is their second hottest 3 pepper blend featuring fatale, habanero, and ghost with roasted red peppers, garlic, and honey. Ghost Whisper is a pile of ghost and habanero with roasted peppers, garlic, onion, and red vinegar. It's a very powerful sauce with a deep and delicious flavor. And you guys got to check out the artwork on these bottles. Silk City uses professional comic book artists to create the coolest looking hot sauce in the biz. They offer great deals when you purchase the 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 mix and match packs. Go to silkcityhotsauce.com and use the coupon code CHOP. You're going to receive 20% off your order. You're going to receive a free bottle, and you're going to get some stickers along with that. That's silkcityhotsauce.com.
And welcome back, everybody. We are now back live, and I'm excited to finally get talking about fantasy football. But first, as mentioned earlier, Randall Cobb is coming home, baby.
I'm happy for him, man. I'm so happy for him.
I'm happy for me. Happy for the Packer fans, because all offseason, I wasn't really worried, but just I wasn't excited yet either, because all the bullshit, anytime I heard about football, I was just like, oh, man, I just want this to all to play out already. Whether it's going to be Rodgers back for an extendo, whether it's going to be Rodgers back for one season, I knew Rodgers would be back, but I just wanted him to report. I wanted all the fucking bullshit to stop. There's a lot of funny things going around on the internet now, bashing Adam Schefter, Aaron Rodgers. Memed up, basically. There's a few, you know, him coming back just to blow one more NFC Championship game, which is not going to happen. We're going to win the Super Bowl. You saw the post that him and Devontae made, one last dance, baby.
I think that they win the Super Bowl this year. No cap. And I'm not even saying that just because you're in front of me right now. I genuinely think that the Packers win the Super Bowl this year. They have the defense. They have the feel-good momentum right now. And let's talk about that feel-good momentum. Randall Cobb coming back, not only from a player perspective, just what he did in Green Bay, but just the fact that they're making Aaron Rodgers happy now. Like, it's amazing to see the transformation that's happened in just 3 days, you know?
Yeah, it's exciting to be a Packer fan right now because there's the Aaron Rodgers with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, like there was last year when they drafted Jordan Love. He went out and won the MVP. Now, I wouldn't say he's got a chip on his shoulder for the rest of the league or he has nothing to prove, but he's coming in highly motivated. He's got his guy back. We get Funches back. There's a little addition by subtraction when we're losing Jamal Williams, even though I'm a really big fan of his.
Yeah.
AJ Dillon, which we're going to get into him a little bit later. AJ Dillon, I have a feeling he's going to have a big year, but I don't want to talk too much Packer football because we're going to give a whole breakdown when we do the NFC North. And later on today, I'm going to record my Packers Pulse podcast. So I'll talk plenty about AJ Dillon later.
Yeah, make sure to listen to that, guys.
But right now, it's time for me to put my money where my mouth is, or to, I wouldn't even say put my money where my mouth is. I'm just going to give you guys a little insight as to what it's like being a fantasy warlord. And I'm going to give you some sleepers. AJ's got a couple. I got a couple. We're going to exclude the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Because quarterback is, there's in a 10-man league, 12-man league, everyone's got a good quarterback. And then the backup is just whatever. You got to use him 1 week.
Also, what people need to understand is the difference between the highest scoring quarterback and the 15th scoring quarterback on a weekly basis is usually a difference of 3 points.
Well, no, that's not true.
What do you mean?
It's just simply not true. There is quarterbacks that are in the tier one where they're consistently guaranteed. The problem that I'm the problem I have with your statement is just the consistency. There will be guys that are ranked 15th. You know, we'll say historically, like a, we'll say a Matthew Stafford. He hasn't really been a great fantasy quarterback, right?
He's done the job though,
just because of the consistency. He's done the job, but you're not winning any fantasy leagues with Stafford. A guy like Dak or a Russ or
Pat Mahomes.
Well, you know, I'm talking about 4 or 5.
Okay, yeah.
6. Even like a Watson, Josh Allen last year, you got in the 13th round. There's a tier above, and then there's that second tier of quarterbacks that you could get away with where you kind of play the matchups. But quarterbacks is guaranteed points at the top when you're getting talking about the Mahomes, the Rodgers. Those guys are a cut above, and if you land one of them later, then you're gold, but you just don't waste a first, a high-round pick on a quarterback.
I guess that's what I was trying to emphasize.
Yeah,
to
I don't
want to
talk
people.
Too much about quarterbacks right now. We're going to talk more about running back, wide receiver, and a little bit of tight end position. Now, I'm going to go first with one sleeper from each position, and then I'll let you go, and then I'll give my rest, because I have way more than you listed. Because
I did a regular sleeper and then a deep sleeper.
Okay, all my guys are pretty much deep sleepers because the regular sleepers, it's obvious. Every time you read a magazine or you go on a website, they're naming the same guys.
Yeah.
Now, maybe some of these guys might be, you know, at running back, it's a little harder. Receiver, you could find some deep sleepers. So my first running back sleeper is, we're just going to get right into it. I mentioned him earlier. It's A.J. Dillon. He's inheriting a bigger role. I know the Packers just signed Aaron Jones to a multi-year big contract, but he's got a little bit of mileage now. Not much, because they really didn't use him much early in his career. But A.J. Dillon's just a fucking load. His quads are bigger than Saquon's. I remember him in the playoffs last year. He came in the third quarter, and he carried the pile 15 yards twice, and they didn't use him anymore for whatever reason. They just abandoned the run, and probably because they were down 20 fucking points. But
yeah,
A.J. Dillon is going into a good situation, and I really like him in the mid to late rounds this year to – one injury away, and he's an RB1 in fantasy.
So what I really like about that is a lot of people kind of didn't realize how productive Jamal Williams was last year as a backup running back. He put up some pretty productive numbers, and weeks where I think there were a few weeks where Aaron Jones was out. Am I wrong in saying that?
At least in the last two seasons, if it wasn't last year, yeah.
Absolutely, and Jamal Williams was a borderline RB1, RB2 every single time. So now insert a more talented, bigger, bolder A.J. Dillon in that role, and he could do some serious damage. I think that what you're saying right now, him going in the late rounds, is absolutely a great value, and he should be.
I don't know how late he's going to go. I would say around 7th.
You think?
Round. Yeah.
I think he's like a top-tier handcuff.
I would say the top-tier handcuff. Yeah. There's guys that you wouldn't even consider handcuffs because they're in a committee. He's basically a committee. I don't know that you're going to be able to handcuff guys like that because his value is too high. So you could almost start both.
Yeah.
You know, he might already be a flex starter this year. So a handcuff is more of a guy like a Madison or where he doesn't really have much of a role unless RB1 gets hurt, and now he's RB1.
True. Okay.
So he's going to get a lot of burn regardless. So handcuff is a stretch. Now who do you got?
All right. So my regular sleeper is Myles Gaskin. So Myles Gaskin right now, I'm looking at the board. So they got him ranked as the number 19 RB. He did a lot of damage last year for the Dolphins. He had some games where he was not only being very productive in the rushing game, but in the passing game as well. He had, on average, 5 receptions per game last year. Take that into account if you're in a PPR league. And then on top of that, the guy is averaging more than 70 yards per game on the ground. What more could you really ask for from a running back too? And if you're going to be able to take him in a, let's just say, a fourth, fifth round scenario, I don't see how you don't jump at that guy.
I don't think that he's going to last to the fifth, potentially the fourth, depending on the structure of the league. And there is a lot of really good receivers that are kind of own the third round, I believe.
Yeah.
But if you're desperate for a running back and you just didn't, you're one of those guys that took a receiver or a quarterback early, then I feel like you could definitely get good value in the fourth round with a Gaskin. I had him in 3 teams last year. I fucking love that guy. So
yeah.
I agree. I just don't know. It's hard for me to put sleeper on anybody that I'm picking in the third or fourth, fifth round.
Okay. Fair game.
But
fair
I guess game. You really can't say A.J. Dillon's a sleeper because everybody knows about him at this point mm-hmm. as well. So I guess we're kind of like.
Should I say deep for later? Deep sleep?
You can go your deep sleep.
Okay, my deep sleep right now, I got James Robinson. He's the 30th ranked running back. Guys, this guy was a top 5 fantasy running back last year. What are we doing letting him slip to these later rounds? I understand that they drafted Travis Etienne, but from what I've seen in camp reports, Travis Etienne's getting actually a lot of reps in the slot. He's being looked at as more of a receiving option for them, a third down type of back guy, and James Robinson wasn't a great, receiving back. So I really don't understand where all these detriments and value are going towards Robinson. I think Robinson still has a great year this year, and I think he could honestly be the steal of the draft.
He was undrafted in every league last year
yeah.
and then added in every league right after the draft, and he was probably a guy that carried a lot of people to fantasy titles.
I know he carried me to one.
I wouldn't say he's maybe based off of the fact that everywhere I see his rank, it's lower, but the guy that was that good last year. It's hard for me to say he's a sleeper. No, he's a sleeper. He's just not a deep sleeper.
Okay.
Everybody knows who the fuck he is at this point. So maybe we have to rethink what you think is a deep sleeper and what I think is a deep sleeper, because I feel like a guy like Trey Sermon is a deeper sleeper, and that's who I'm going with.
Way
as my
deeper.
Deep sleeper. Based on the fact that the 49ers obviously think highly of him, they always have 4 or 5 fucking running backs on their roster somehow, and Mostert's always injured.
Always.
I wouldn't say always injured, but he misses a couple games a year.
Yeah.
Shanahan's committed to the run. I think that this guy has the potential to be the RB1 by midseason. He has Gallman that he's got to stave off. Wilson's had a couple spurts here or there where he showed potential, but the same thing with the other ones. Injured. Running back position, it's hard to stay on the field, and the 49ers always go with the hot hand. There's like a revolving door. Gallman is good. I just don't see he makes the roster at this point because of the amount of running backs that they have. So I don't think he has to really stave off anyone. I think he enters the season as RB2, Sermon. If Mostert goes down, then he's RB1.
Okay, so with Trey Sermon, I'm kind of a little bit skittish about Trey Sermon because the way that the Shanahan runs his offense and that running back rotation, that scares the living life out of me. With the like 49ers, what I kind of learned last year, owning Mostert, owning Wilson, there was Jamichael Hasty I owned as well. It's always a revolving door around there. I mean, it's literally just whoever he picks tonight will be the best running back in the game. So Trey Sermon obviously is a great deep sleeper because if you could plug him in, like let's just say 3 weeks and he produces for you, that's amazing for where you're drafting him. But I don't know. I'll take a flyer on him late, but that's not somebody I'm seeking out.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to talk about the Jets guy because we're running, I wouldn't say short on time, but we have to keep it moving because we have a lot of receivers here.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right, so I'm going to start off with my receivers. With my main sleeper receiver is Michael Pittman.
Okay.
New quarterback.
Love it.
Coordinator, Frank Reich is a really good coach. I think they might have lost their coordinator.
I think they did lose their coordinator. I'm trying to think of where he went to.
Neither here nor there.
I think he's the Eagles head coach.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Neither here nor there, but Frank Reich, Pittman, I think Wentz is a candidate to have a bounce back season. They have a really good offensive line. The Colts roster is a lot better than people think. And yeah. Michael Pittman, just coming off a season where he didn't have any consistency at the quarterback position. Now you got a quarterback there that with a head coach in his second season with the team. I think that there's potential there for Pittman to finish in the top 15, 20 overall at wideout, and I'm seeing him ranked around 40 at the highest. So Pittman is my main sleeper of the season at wideout.
So I've been a huge Michael Pittman guy for a while now. I wanted the Jets to draft him so bad last year because the Sam Darnold-Pittman connection, I thought that that was going to be something great. But just seeing him last year on the field, even with a disheveled Phillip Rivers, he just did not look good out there. Pittman was productive in a lot of those games. He made some great catches during the playoffs. I like
Pittman. Yeah, he had one. I think he had 100 yards against Buffalo.
Yeah, so playoff loss. He's proven that he could show up in big moments. I think that T.Y. Hilton, although he has his flashes of good games, he's pretty much over with. Pittman's, in my mind, is the clear wide receiver one there. Paris Campbell's coming back from injury. He's going to be, I would go ahead and say, wide receiver three. He's more of a possession guy. But Pittman's a guy who could stretch the field. He's a guy who is basically great at putting his body on the line to catch the ball. There's a lot of room for improvement. I love that take, Chris.
All right, so who do you got?
Who I got is Laviska Shenault. So basically everything that I've seen out of camp coming so far is Laviska, Laviska, Laviska. Everybody loves Laviska Shenault.
You really think the Jaguars are it, huh?
So here's my thing. I think the Jaguars' defense is going to be so fucking bad that the offense has to do stuff. Kind of similar to when Blake Bortles was on the team and him and A-Rob were just going off.
So kind of similar to Dak.
Yeah, kind of similar to Dak because he just, pads his stats when his team's already down. But that's for another time. Laviska Shenault, I think, is going to be one of those guys that's going to get a lot of opportunities, and I think they're going to use him in a lot of crazy ways. You know how Robert Woods does those little end-arounds? You know how Tyreek Hill does the little end-arounds? I could see that on crack with Laviska Shenault. Urban Meyer's going to be trying out that college shit. I think that Laviska has a huge year. I think that he could come in, honestly, as a wide receiver, too, by the end of the year.
I have Shenault listed, but it was going to be more or less for which one of the second-year receivers that had a bomb, a dud rookie year, is going to show out this year. I put him in that list. I put Jalen Reagor on that list, Mims, and Ruggs. Ruggs kind of had the best season out of all four of those guys. Maybe even Shenault. Like, he had flashes here and there, but Ruggs, I don't know that he's going to be ever a possession receiver. He's going to be that burner type where he...
And my problem with Ruggs is they just signed John Brown.
They didn't sign John Brown to take away from Henry Ruggs.
But John Brown is the depth guy. John Brown's a burner.
Yeah, but he's a depth guy. I can't imagine John Brown beating out Henry Ruggs where they drafted him. But that's another story for another day. We're not going to talk about that now. My second sleeper, I have four total. So Pittman, Curtis Samuel. I think Curtis Samuel is going to Washington with, they got Fitzmagic there now?
Fitzmagic, baby.
Fitzmagic flings it.
He does fling it.
I think Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, they were college teammates. Were they college teammates? Did Curtis Samuel go to Ohio State?
Curtis Samuel did go to Ohio State. They were college teammates. Yeah.
There's a little of a connection there, much like the Jarvis Landry, Odell kind of deal. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is not afraid to throw the ball. They're going to have a really good defense. So I have a feeling, if you look at him last year, they didn't have any fucking vertical threat in Carolina, and he still had 80 catches, I think 79 catches. He put together a nice season. I think that you're potentially seeing the Washington football team put up some points this year because their defense is going to be really good. They're going to get the ball back a lot. And Fitzpatrick, he'll throw a ton of picks, but he does have two good receivers. I think Curtis Samuel is highly underrated, and you're going to see him this year kind of take another step forward.
I mean, if people just kind of want a glimpse into what that is, just look at Devontae Parker when he was playing with Fitzpatrick. The guy was going absolutely insane nearly every game. Fitzpatrick is a volume guy. If they're down in these games, he's going to be throwing his heart out. He's never afraid to force the ball. And honestly, I just see that with a lot of the coverage going towards McLaurin's side, Samuel is going to have so many opportunities to kind of break away from his defender. He's a guy who's very elusive. He's great off the line. And as I was kind of talking about before, he could do those little end arounds and things. So,
and he's a good run blocker. I think that the two of those guys do things well, which keeps him on the field in all situations.
Mm-hmm.
My next sleeper, I wouldn't say he's really a sleeper because he's been on everybody's fantasy radar for years because he's a Chiefs player. Any guy that catches balls from Mahomes is kind of a flash in the pan. One week here, you could spot start him. But he officially took over the wide receiver two spot now. I know you guys all know who I'm talking about, Mecole Hardman, former second-round draft pick in 2019, I want to say. So he's entering his third year, which is that magical year for wide receivers. And he's got Pat Mahomes throwing him the ball, highly motivated, coming off of an embarrassing Super Bowl loss. I like the Chiefs to obviously continue where they left off with the offense. You got Tyreek Hill, who's going to take that second safety or the double coverage constantly. Mecole Hardman is a burner. He could fucking run with anybody, including Tyreek Hill. So, yeah, I think that he's definitely going to put up bigger numbers this year, a little more consistency out of him.
I see Mecole Hardman being a wide receiver three this year because I think that while he does do a lot of things great, Mahomes, just for some reason, he loves to spread the ball, and especially to kind of Hill and Kelce specifically. You saw DeMarcus Robinson got a good amount of burn last year. He's not even that great a receiver, but he was competing with Hardman in that role, and now Sammy Watkins is out of the picture. Hardman comes in. I'm hoping that Hardman could be a way...
Is Watkins gone?
Watkins is gone. He's a Baltimore Raven.
Okay. Yeah,
so yeah. I'm hoping that Mecole Hardman could be a huge receiver for them. But my problem is that he's not that possession guy they really need, though. He's kind of like Tyreek Hill, too.
But the reason why they don't really need a possession guy is because they have Kelce, or Kelce.
And he's the ultimate possession guy.
Yeah, and it's going to be impossible to put a safety over the top of Mecole Hardman, and as fast as he is, you kind of need that because you have to worry about Hill, and you have to keep a safety covering Kelce.
Yeah.
It's going to be so hard for me to finally, like, call him Kelce, because that is his last name. He said it on some weird interview.
Wait, what?
It's not Travis Kelce. It's Travis Kelce. So we could try and stop saying Kelce, but I don't know if I'm ever going to be.
Yeah, that's never going to happen. That's like the kid in my fraternity who told us 2 years in that his last name is not Diaz, it's Diaz.
No, it's Diaz.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Anyway, fuck your fraternity.
And honestly, fuck my fraternity.
Unless they're listening, then, guys, keep spreading the word.
Yeah, we love you, A-Pi.
All right, so I have one more, and as much as it pains me to say this, he is a member of the Chicago Bears, but Darnell Mooney.
Well, okay, I'm very interested to hear why you like this guy.
He's been hindered. Well, first of all, he's going into his second year. He showed flashes last year.
He did.
No doubt. And I watched a specific highlight reel of him, and I want to say it's on Receiver School on Instagram, which is obviously one of the best pages on Instagram if I'm shouting it out on my podcast. I get nothing from this, but Receiver School is one of my favorite pages to look at on Instagram. You get to see all how they break down coverages and how a receiver really releases and things like that. So Receiver School on Instagram, go check that out. But they broke down a video of him running routes and how many times he got the ball overthrown or just bad passes to him where he had his guy completely smoked. There might be a little bit more of that this year in Chicago because it's not like they had the quarterback situation fixed. They did trade up to get their guy in Fields. I was hot and cold on Fields coming into the draft, and now I'm completely cold on him because I have no choice. But Dalton sucks. We all know that. So the Bears have Andy Dalton starting to enter the season. I don't think it's going to take long for Fields to take that job, but we all know that Justin Fields could fling it deep. So that's really where the Bears have been struggling. They've just been struggling altogether at quarterback. Yeah. But Mooney's a really good route runner. And based off of the film that I saw on that Instagram page, I just like the guy. Allen Robinson is a beast. I don't like him because he's on the Bears, but acknowledging the reality and seeing the routes that he was running, he was fucking completely creating crazy separation. His jab steps are on the money. I like him on film. Now, is he going to get passes accurate? Is he going to get... That's another story, but I do like Mooney. And just, you mentioned the Ravens with Sammy Watkins. I like Rashad Bateman the most out of all rookie receivers. See how that plays out. I just like him a lot. I wanted the Packers to trade up for him. They didn't. But
I got one more deep sleeper I want to say for the wide receiver position. Breshad Perriman. So why I like Breshad Perriman is if you are at home right now and you have a phone near you, go ahead and look at the Lions depth chart. And then go ahead and look at the receiver position. And then try and name a single person that you've even remotely ever heard of.
Shout out to Jorge, who discovered him on Madden because he has 99 speed. So he's like one of those guys where
he is second Madden.
Yeah, you could always draft late. And when you're trying to build your franchise, he's a good guy because just straightaway speed.
Yeah.
You know how that goes in Madden. And certain attributes. And you could bring a guy like him along well in your franchise or your career mode, whatever the fuck you call it.
And so basically what I'm getting to with the Detroit Lions situation is they don't have anybody. Fantasy, to me, a lot of it is opportunity. Opportunity, opportunity, opportunity. Jared Goff, the guy, they're going to be passing a lot this year because their defense freaking stinks. They stink. They're going to try and run it early with DeAndre Swift, but when they inevitably get behind in games, they're going to have to pass the ball, and who are they going to pass it to? TJ Hockenson? Yes, but how many times is that going to work until they take the linebacker and double cover him? So I like Breshad Perriman as a guy who produced a lot for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from week 13 to 17 when he was there. I think he was a top 10 wide receiver during that span. He goes to the Jets last year. He gets injured a few times, but in a few of those games with Flacco, he has more than 100 yards, and he's doing well. He is a productive receiver. He was hindered by injuries early in his career, but this guy has talent. Do not let that pass you, and do not let the Detroit Lions name phase you. He's a guy who's going to get a lot of opportunities. He's not going to get drafted anywhere in the first seven rounds. Go ahead, take a look at this guy, and if you have good depth at the wide receiver position, I promise you, take a flyer. He will produce more than you'll think.
Okay, so we got a bear and a lion. I don't agree with the lion. I don't think that the lion, any lions in fantasy are worth it. Maybe on a deep sleeper as a wide receiver four flex in a bye week, you could take a flyer on him, but I don't think that you're going to. I think he will be the guy all year that hovers around ad drop. He's going to be added and dropped by almost every team in every league.
Okay. I like that. I mean, I don't know. I really think there's more with
Perriman.
You got
a guy who'll be rostered, and he'll be like that 40% owned guy where he's just dropped and added a lot. Anyway, moving on to tight ends. I don't agree with you on that one, AJ. So moving on to tight ends, this is the one position that I didn't ask you who you picked. I don't think I did, right? So no. I knew who you were going to say in all the other ones. Right now, there's potential that we have some crossover here because I listed a few guys. And I'm going to start off with first by saying that Tanyan is no longer really a sleeper, but I see him ranked way too low. So I can't believe that he's ranked in like the 10 spot and a lot of these lists that I'm looking at. I'm all over Tanyan. If everyone in my league has a tight end already, I'm taking Tanyan at 10 and being like, I have a chance to have tight end 3.
Because his touchdown potential is ridiculous. I mean, simply put, maybe he's not getting the volume that some other tight ends get, but when it comes to touchdowns, he is a touchdown machine.
When you're touchdown reliant in fantasy, that's what will move you down the rankings because, like you said earlier, it's about volume and opportunities and things like that. And I'm 100% in lockstep with you on that. But he's got the best quarterback in football throwing on the ball. They clearly have a rapport. He came out of nowhere last year, really wasn't really getting the burn early in the season. So all the things that he did was really in a 12-game sample because he didn't have that job fully until week 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm. And I think Mercedes Lewis had the job for them.
Mercedes Lewis will always see the field because he's a great blocker and things like that. But Tanyan is not lacking in the blocking department for sure. He's a good blocker as well, and he's just a beast football player.
He's a great football player.
And now he's coming into the season confident with a better understanding of the offense. I really think LaFleur likes him a lot, specifically in the red zone, as we obviously know. And there is a few guys returning on Green Bay with Funchess and now Randall Cobb. So I just think it's going to be a little bit easier on Tanyan. He last year, towards the end of the season, teams were keying on him, especially in the red zone. So they had Devontae and Tanyan pretty much caught almost every fucking pass Rodgers threw last year. That's going to be different with some of the guys we got coming back. But anyway, I get into my tight end sleeper. I know Giant fans are going to rip me apart on this, but I really do think Evan Engram has a chance to enter the top 10 again and maybe even top 7 tight ends. He's in his contract year, and there's nothing more motivating than the bag. So Evan Engram, he cost me a fantasy playoff appearance last year or a playoff win with the fucking drop in the end zone. I've had such bad experiences with him. I won't draft him no matter what. Based off of the way he's burned me in the past, but go ahead. You guys could draft him and take my advice on it. I think Evan Engram has a bounce back season.
Evan Ingram's always been so talented, and my problem with that really becomes Daniel Jones. I just think he fucking sucks. I really do. And I think that the appearance of Kenny Golladay in the offense kind of makes it harder for him to establish himself in the red zone. I think that he will probably have a lot easier time up the middle of the field because they're going to have to worry about Golladay on the outside and Shepard on the opposite side. But in terms of getting touchdowns, now I'm a little worried about his touchdown volume where that goes to Barkley and that goes to Golladay. So
I don't think that the tight end position necessarily gets hurt by having more weapons around him. because they're not really volume guys anyway. They specifically are red zone targets. Galladay, I understand he's a beast. He's huge. He's definitely a red zone target, and that could potentially hurt him. And just they're going to be a little less willing to throw the ball when they're close like they were last year, so those one-yard touchdown catches could be a little less frequent. Not like he had a ton of them anyway.
Yeah.
But I just think that Evan Engram is going to still see his targets because he is the tight end one, and he's motivated by money, so there's nothing more motivating. And that's really my only reason. It's not like there's nothing other than that. I just – nobody has a good taste in their mouth when they're talking to Evan Engram. Giants fans, he's probably their most hated player.
Yeah, but it's something that you didn't know is contract year. And if you go ahead and you look at fancy players' performances in contract years, there's usually a huge boost in production. So
yeah,
take note.
So who do you got?
Who do I got? I got my boy Irv Smith Jr.
Actually, I did ask you who they had. Now I'm fucking – but I hate him too. You're going after all the fucking NFC North foes.
Yeah, I am, unfortunately, because of opportunity. Because my guy, Irv Smith Jr., was a productive tight end last year, even with Kyle Rudolph in front of him. And then when Kyle Rudolph went out for a few games, Irv Smith Jr. was a consistent tight end one during that period. Now, with Kyle Rudolph becoming a New York Giant, I think that there's a ton of opportunity for Irv Smith Jr. to be the red zone threat that isn't a Dalvin Cook. Justin Jefferson is great at stretching the field. He's great at getting them in position to score. But when it comes to inside the red zone, I mean, he's not exactly the big body you want. Irv Smith is that big body. He's very quick. He's able to get past defenders very elusively. I just simply put, like Irv Smith, I like his opportunity. But I want to go into my deep sleeper real quick. Anthony Firkser, a guy from Manalapan, New Jersey, shout out. He's the tight end for the Tennessee Titans, and he made a bunch of huge plays in the playoffs 2 years ago for them. We haven't heard much of him since because Jonnu Smith had the role last year, but Anthony Firkser is a guy that should have attention paid to him because they're going to be covering Julio. They're going to be covering A.J. Brown. Guess who they're not going to be paying attention to? Anthony Firkser.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that as a backup tight end that could potentially be a tight end, fringe tight end one.
Yeah.
I got some guys too. So deeper, the deep sleeper, deep sleeper, Troutman from the Saints. Jared Cook is gone.
I love Troutman.
I have no idea what's going on with that offense. Thomas is out for a little bit. It's not like they're going to be double teaming the tight end that nobody's heard of. So Troutman is a potential another guy that maybe Firkser type where he's inheriting a bigger role in an offense that kind of has some question marks surrounding it. Now Cole Kmet. I don't like the Bears, but this is my second Chicago Bear on the list, but Cole Kmet plays angry. He plays with an edge and he's good.
He was simply so much better than Jimmy Graham. I don't know why the hell they had Graham on the field half the time.
He had 28 catches last season. And 20 of the 28 were in his final five games. You prorate that. It's a pretty solid season for a tight end.
Yeah, that's in his rookie pretty season. Damn solid.
He had some stupid penalties against the Packers where he his head got in the way of his play, we'll say. Mm-hmm. And he got some stupid personal foul calls. So he plays like a nut, but that can't be a bad thing when you're playing football. As a rookie, you almost want to see that, and then his coaches could kind of reel him in and as he goes forward, maybe play a little bit smarter, but that's besides the point. I'm talking about his production on the fantasy field. And 20 catches in five games down the stretch, I think that translates into about 50, give or take. I'll take 50 catches and 8 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns out of my tight end, too. So
anytime.
Cole Kmet, and I'm trying to look at my list if there's anybody else, but I don't think I got anybody. That's it. So there you have it. That's our fantasy sleepers. That is subject to change, obviously.
We will do
a little more of a buttoned-up fantasy show as we go forward. I'm not going to be having an actual fantasy podcast. I'm just going to be handling it on the daily show and doing segments throughout the football season on Tuesdays, talking about the best free agent acquisitions that are out there and then guys that we could drop and, you know, matchup of the week. Just do a little bit of a fantasy segment every day throughout the week in the daily podcast, and AJ will be along for that. Dave will give his input on that as well. I'm sure Dave just texted me about the episode, saying, is everything all good? I said, bro, fucking worry about the fucking fish biting, bro. Don't worry about the podcast today. Take your day off and mind your fucking business. No, but Dave is probably going to have to I just got a text. We actually do have to wrap this up. I got two meetings that I have to do, and I hope that your editing skills are good, AJ, because we're going to find out today.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's all we got. We're going to plug the podcast. We got us every day. We got the Chop Heads MMA podcast that comes out typically on Mondays, but I still haven't put it out yet this week because I'm just very, very busy and I have to edit it, and I did a really bad job recording it. So there's a lot of edits that have to go into it. And I will put something out today. It's just going to be a shortened version of it just so we have some consistency and our listeners don't wonder what happened to us. On Tuesdays, we have the Joe Matarese Show, the Jimmy Palumbo Show. We got the Squeaky Bum Time podcast, which did not come out this week, but then they also come out on Fridays. So Tuesdays and Fridays is Squeaky Bum Time. Wednesdays, we got Chart Choppers. I know we have another couple podcasts on the horizon. I'm recording the Packers Pulse today. AJ is going to pick out a day so he could do his Fade the Public podcast on our network.
I'm actually going to call it Fantasy Guy.
Fantasy Guy. Okay, so we do have a fantasy podcast coming onto the network now that I've been informed that AJ is changing the name of his podcast. I'm sure I'm missing a bunch of things here. The Chart Choppers. Did I say the Chart Choppers?
You said Chart Choppers.
Till Mets Do Us Part. The goddamn Jets. I'm not sure what's going on with them. I think they're waiting for training camp to unfold a little bit before they continue recording. But there you have it. Check out our merch. Go support our Chop athletes, chopsportsmedia.com.
Follow us on TikTok.
Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Chop Sports Media. Follow me on Twitter, and it's just Chop Sports Chris.
I won't plug myself.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. I would have edited that shit the fuck out anyway. But there you have it. For the Chop Sports podcast on Wednesday, July 28th.
Goodbye.
Now, here's where I usually do my soft close, but I just talked for fucking hours straight, and I'm over it.